to Destination Hockey. Today we have a very special episode in store. We've got Islanders third-round draft pick Jakub Sarek coming on the show, Islanders beat writer Andrew Gross, and then Tampa Bay Lightning writer Joe Smith. But first, here's the weather. Tonight it's going to be scattered thunderstorms with a high of around 78 degrees, and then tomorrow we're going to have again thunderstorms. But look forward to the weekend because Friday, Saturday, and Sunday it will be sunny with a high of around 95, 92, and 90 degrees respectively for those days. So get ready for the weekend because it's going to be very hot. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back with Jakub Sarek of the New York Islanders.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Welcome to Destination Hockey. My name is David Lazar, and today we have a very special guest on the show, Jakub Sarek, third-round draft pick for the Islanders. Very, very talented goaltending prospect. So thank you so much for coming on the show today.
You're welcome. I'm very excited.
Of course. So, first of all, you're a goaltending prospect. You are a goalie. If you look on YouTube, people are calling you half machine, half man. You are a very talented goalie, and you've clearly put a lot of effort into your development. When did you first know that you wanted to be a goalie?
I never wanted to be a goalie. I started playing hockey when I was 7 years old. I was normal forward, and I was forward for 1 year. Our goalie didn't came on practice, and coach asked who wants to try it, so I tried it, and I remember that I lost, I missed almost all practice because I don't know how to put my pads on my legs. So it was really hard from the start because being goalie is totally different than being forward. So it was really big difference. But I had great coaches. My father started coaching me, and I learned how to skate, how to catch pucks. And I want to thank my coaches in Czech and my father and my family, because they helped me a lot, and they are a big reason why I'm here.
That's great. So you mentioned your father. Was he your biggest role model growing up?
Yeah, he wasn't goalie, so he read a lot of books how to coach a goalie, and so it was totally new for him, and we did a lot of skating, so I think I had good basics in skating in Greece, out of Greece. So that's because of him, because of his practices.
That's great. It's really nice that you had someone there to really help you develop. And another thing that really helped you develop was the last few years you did play against professionals instead of going like the USA NCAA route. So you were playing against grown men. How important was that in your development?
Yeah, I think it was really important for my development, because NHL, the best league in the world, is all hockey, and I think it's really, really good for young guys to start playing all the hockey as soon as possible. They can learn from older players which have great experiences from their hockey career, and so I was really glad to be part of all the team in that young age. I had great coaches, great teammates, so it was really great school for me. I learned how to play some situations, because I must play it a little bit different than in junior hockey. So it helped me a lot, and it's still helping me.
That's great. And now you're at rookie camp with a bunch of other Islanders prospects. 53, I think, is the exact number. So what are you most excited for about meeting your fellow Islanders prospects and really developing yourself as a goalie with other NHL prospects?
Yeah, it's great. I love it to be here. I'm glad that I can compare myself to other NHL prospects, and compare me to other goalies which may play in the NHL in the future. So we have a great coaches here, great coaching staff. So it's great to be here, and I will learn as much as I can for this week, and I will try to be ready on the next camp and make big progress and do my best here this week. And yeah,
that's great. And you were drafted by the New York Islanders. They are really taking a turn with Lou Lamoriello, Barry Trotz, a new coaching staff, as really a world-class organization with a bright future ahead of them. So how great did it feel to be drafted by the New York Islanders?
Yeah, it's great. I think it is great for me that Islanders picked me, and I'm really glad that they drafted me, and I will do my best to stay one day on the ice in a New York Islanders arena in that blue jersey, and it will be great, and it's a lot of work in front of me, but I will do my best.
That's really great. And the Islanders, I know they interviewed you a few times, so how did that go, and did you expect to be drafted by the Islanders?
To be honest, I didn't expect it. I had some interviews with some scouts from the Islanders, but I didn't expect it. So it was really big surprise for me, but really, really positive surprise, and I'm really, really super excited to show the coaches here on camp what I can do on the ice and on the off ice, and I will do my best to catch every puck here.
Great. And one thing that I find really cool, and your name immediately stood out when I watched you get drafted in the third round, in the pre-draft rankings, many people ranked you the best goaltending prospect in this class. And there was goalies taken before you, but a lot of people really have high praise for you and think you were, out of all the goalies drafted, you were the best. So how great of an honor is it to receive that high praise?
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't look on some pre-draft rankings or this stuff, so I didn't know it, but I really appreciate it. And yeah, I think I did a lot of hard work, but I still, if I want to be in the NHL, I need to work hard every day and always do my best. And I'm glad that New York Islanders drafted me and gave me that little chance to be here on a camp here. And I will do my best.
Yeah, and a really, really important thing that you've done in the past, you partaked in the World Juniors, which is a great tournament for young players to really face some great NHL shots and really go against good prospects. So how important was that for your development to be in such an amazing tournament?
Yeah, as you said, the Junior World Championship is one of the greatest tournaments in the world, and I had that luck that I can play it twice, and in Montreal and last year in Buffalo. So it's great to compare myself to other players in my age, and I know that I can play much better than I played last year in Buffalo, because it was hard tournament for me. But after the tournament, I went to Litoměřice in second Czech in league, and I had a great goalie coach here, Ben Sequence, and we did a lot of hard work. We changed my playing style a little bit. We started with more hands, more active hands on the rebounds and on the shots. So I made biggest progress there during that time in that team. And but yeah, we're juniors. It's an honor to play in national team in national jersey. And I had it luck that I can play next year in Vancouver. So I hope that I show to everybody what I can do and how I can play.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you next year, hopefully. And the Czech Republic really is emerging as, on the world stage, is a really great program. And to be honest, I've been following world hockey for a little bit, and they kind of came out of nowhere as really becoming a world power. So how important were your coaches, your fellow players at the World Juniors, in really creating a great team and helping you develop as a member of the Czech Republic team?
Yeah, I think that hockey in Czech Republic is getting better and better every year. I think it's great that there are a lot of coaches putting young guys into all hockey like they did it to me in Ilava. It's showing that young players which are starting to play model hockey, they can, if they want to compare to old guys, they have to work hard. And I think that Czech goalie school is one of the best in Europe, and we have a lot of great goalie coaches. So I think Czech hockey is getting better and better, but I think we are still far from Canada or USA. These two countries are best in the world, but it's always a lot of fun to play against them. It's always really hard games, but yeah, it's great to compete those two teams, and I love to play against Canada and USA. It's really, really hard games for a goalie, and it's great for me, and I love it.
Yeah, when you're facing those teams, Canada, USA, you're going to get a lot of shots, and goalies. Yeah. The Islanders went through this problem last year. Their goalies were facing 50 shots a game just because their defense was a little weaker than other teams. As a goalie, do you like facing more shots in a game, or do you like, you know, getting that 20-shot game and potentially giving up less goals, but you're facing less shots?
I like to have as much shot as possible because, you know, you're staying in shape and you are in that game, and when you have not much saves, it's much harder for that goalie, and especially in some national team tournaments when we are playing, for example, against Switzerland, it's really hard to play against them because they have like 15 shots for all game, but 7 or 8 shots can be normal goals, so it's really because they have a lot of shootouts, so it's really hard to stay focused for all game when you don't have that much saves. So I like more when I have a lot of saves during the game, and of course there is a bigger chance to get a goal, but it's up to goalie how he stays against it, and I like this kind of game more.
Yeah, that's really interesting. A lot of goalies would agree. I know one of my friends, Ben, he wrote an article on our website, Drive for Five, about how goalies like to face more shots. So that's really interesting that's how a lot of goalies think. And then another cool thing about your game that I really admire, a lot of good players are starting to become, like Andrei Vasilevskiy. I know a lot of great players are starting to become really good at playing the puck, and that's your strength. You are amazing out of the crease, playing the puck, passing it to defensemen. So is that something you want to continue to grow, or is that something that you think you've already really gotten well at?
If I want to play in the NHL, I need to improve every part of my game, every skill. I know on which things I have to work. I know I will work it on it with my coach in Finland, in Lahti. I need to improve my skills on the ice and off ice. So it's still a lot of work in front of me, and I'm really looking forward to it, to when I improve those problems on my hockey style. But I think I made big progress last year, but I still need to improve my play.
That's really cool, because that's the type of attitude that gets you to the NHL. You're always looking to improve, very humble, and I'm really, really looking forward to watching your career progress. But let's say you weren't a hockey player, just as one last question for fun. What other interests, talents do you have, and what do you think your profession would be if you weren't a hockey player?
I never thought about it, but
wow.
I like to cook, but I can't do it. So maybe when I train it, I will be good chef or cook, but I don't know. I like biology in school or history, so maybe I would like to be some coach, goalie coach or doctor. I don't know. I want to be at first hockey player and play hockey as long as possible, and then we will see what I can do.
Yep. So we've got a chef, a biologist, historian, and most importantly, a great hockey goaltender. I'm really excited to watch you progress. I think you're going to have a great career ahead of you. The Islanders are a perfect organization. So thank you so much for giving up the time today. It was such an honor to speak to someone who was drafted, and especially such a great goaltender, humble person, and just frankly, you are such a nice guy. So thank you so much, and I really hope to speak to you soon. Have fun at rookie camp, and again, thank you so much for giving up the time.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Of course.
So that was Jakub Šárek, a very talented Islanders goaltending prospect and really just a humble guy. You hear that from a lot of young kids. He's 2 months older than me, but I was just really impressed with his work ethic and his character, and I think he's going to have a great NHL future. And unfortunately today he was injured. That interview was recorded earlier today, and unfortunately he did suffer an injury today at prospect camp, so I wish him all the best and hope he gets better. And we will be right back with Andrew Gross, another great interview for you. We're going to talk about John Tavares for the next 30 minutes, so stay tuned to that.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Welcome back to Destination Hockey. This is David Lazar, and we have another special guest on the show. We have Andrew Gross of Newsday. So thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, David. Always good to talk to you.
Yeah, so you were at the NHL draft last week. That was a very eventful occasion at the draft, definitely. But then I heard you had an interesting story with the flight down. So what exactly happened there?
Actually, it didn't happen to me. It happened to my good friend Colin Stevenson, who covers the Rangers for Newsday. But so what happened was, by the time we boarded our flight at 7 a.m. at Newark on Friday morning, all the overheads were full. Luckily, I had a small duffel bag I just shoved under my seat. But Colin had one of those roller bags, so the gate agent said they had to take it from him. So, you know, this happens all the time when you fly. We get to Dallas, and we stand around the baggage carousel for about a half hour, and no bag ever comes out. I'm not gonna drag this out, but long story short, the gate agent at Newark mistagged the bag with the wrong name, so American had zero records as to what the bag was, but their best guess was it had been sent on to Puerto Vallarta. And then it just became a stupid Twitter war with American Airlines because I called them out for incompetence, and they started, you know, tweeting back at me trying to defend themselves. So we got into it. Colin had to buy all new clothes for the draft because he had nothing. And his car keys were in his roller bags, and his car was parked at Newark. I felt bad for the guy because we're sitting there through the draft on Saturday, and as stuff is happening, he's on hold for a half hour with American Airlines trying to find out what happens with his bag. They finally gave the bag back to him when he got to the Dallas airport Sunday morning to fly back to Newark. Was the first time they could actually get him the bag. So they give him the bag back at Dallas, and he goes through TSA and security, and he's headed to his gate and his flight home. and he's trying to get on the plane, and the gate agent in Dallas says, we might have to take that bag from you because there's no overhead space. And then that's when Colin, who is a much calmer human being than I am, that's when he put his foot down and said, there's not a chance you were getting this bag from me. And he explained the whole story to the gate agent, and they were wise enough to allow this poor guy onto the plane with his bag. So he had the rougher weekend. I just played angry pit bull on Twitter with American Airlines, which, by the way, I was thinking of booking a flight on them later this summer, and I think I'm going Delta now. So.
good choice. Yeah. And then another, speaking of crazy stories, another very crazy thing, developing by the day, is the status of John Tavares's contract. So just what's the deal there?
Well, he's ensconced in the office of his agent, Pat Persson, out in Los Angeles all week, just basically welcoming, teams in to make pitches to him. You know, it's kind of like, I called it a woo-a-thon, And basically, each team comes in and gives about a two-hour presentation as to why they might be the best destination for him. And, the roster was the Maple Leafs and the Islanders come in, and the San Jose Sharks come in, and the Lightning and the Bruins and the Dallas Stars. They all have meetings scheduled, and they're all, going up to these offices, and their poor camera, TSN crews from Canada, waiting downstairs and a few reporters, and no one's saying anything. I mean, what are you going to do? Comment down and go, yeah, we offered him 7 years at $12 million a year. No one's going to say anything. So, that's the process. And then, the free agent market opens on July 1st, which is Sunday. Tavares can re-sign with the Islanders before then, and before then the Islanders can offer him that eighth year that other teams can't. So, I still think, and I've felt all along, that the Islanders were the leader in the clubhouse, that, JT was looking for a reason to re-sign with the Islanders. And I think with them, hiring Lou Lamoriello, which is just a seismic change in the way the Islanders are doing business. I mean, Lou Lamoriello comes in, he's got instant credibility, and he demands instant accountability, not just from the players, but, from everyone in the organization, right down to the secretaries. Lou Lamoriello has a way of making everyone feel as if their contributions are vitally important to the overall success of the organization. The Islanders double down on that after getting Lou Lamoriello, and you give a lot of credit to Islanders ownership here. They listen to the fan discontent regarding 12 seasons under the Garth Snow, and to a lesser extent, and I feel bad because I really feel like Doug Weight could be a good coach in the NHL given the right situation and given the right structure. But he had none of that here with the Islanders. They relieve Garth and Doug of their duties, and good fortune. But the Capitals and Barry Trotz can't come to a new agreement, and bang, the coach who just lifted the Stanley Cup 3 weeks ago, is now coaching your team. And I think John Tavares looks at all of this, and also we're talking about the draft. The Islanders had a, I don't want to say spectacular draft, because you never know, right? I mean, these kids, you're not going to know for 3-4 years how good this draft really is. But, everyone you talk to is the two kids they got at 11 and 12, Oliver Wahlstrom and defenseman Noah Dobson, Everyone had them in the top 10. So now you're getting value, top 10 value at 11 and 12. And then at number 41 in the second round, you pick up another defenseman, Bodie Wild, who like Noah defenseman, could wind up being a stud defenseman at the NHL level. And a lot of people had Bodie Wild going, you know, not only in the first round, but mid-first round, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18, somewhere around there, and you get him at 41. So obviously some other teams, you know, saw some chinks in the armor there as well. But I think, you know, Bodie comes into a camp, prospect camp with the chip on his shoulder, and to some degree, so does Oliver Wahlstrom, who thinks, you know, the Rangers made a mistake at nine, picking the Russian Vitaly Kratsov over him.
Yeah.
So, so some motivated players there. And I just think I know, with the goalie, Jacob Skurek, I mean, he's highly rated out of the Czech Republic as well. He's going to go play in Finland, I believe, right?
Yeah, just spoke to him, and he is just a great prospect, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, and obviously goalies and defensemen take the longest, so, I mean, we're not going to hear from him at the NHL, you know, probably for 5 years or something, but still, you know, he was really good value getting him as well.
Yeah, so just all around, the Islanders really just complete turnaround in 2 months with Lou Lamoriello, but still John Tavares is taking these meetings. He's exercising his right, essentially, to talk to other teams, get the most money he can from the Islanders. That's the hope. But still, a lot of people not involved with the Islanders still think Tavares is going to leave. So which team is the most legitimate threat to snag Tavares from the Islanders?
Well, obviously, you know, the Toronto media has played up the fact that JT is from, you know, the Toronto area.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't he take, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars to come play for his hometown Maple Leafs? To be honest with you, and I'm not discounting the fact that the Maple Leafs were, you know, his favorite team growing up and all that. Just, you know, knowing JT's personality a little bit, I just don't see Toronto as a fit for him, because, you know, they're covered like the New York Yankees are covered, if not more intensely, if that's even possible. And, you know, if JT is up in Toronto, he could not go anywhere on his own. He would be recognized literally everywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, my take on John Tavares is that would make him really, really miserable. Whereas, you know, he lives to a certain degree of anonymity on Long Island. And, you know, I think that's one of the things he likes out there is, you know, New York has plenty of big stars. So it's not like, you know, and hockey certainly isn't, you know, covered or revered in this area like it is up in, you know, Canada. So, it's, you know, John's allowed to live his life down here, and I think he really likes that. But when you look at all the other teams coming to visit to him, the team to me that he would slot into perfectly, both in terms of lifestyle and, you know, being set up to win immediately, would be the San Jose Sharks. I see a great fit for JT there. You know, it's somewhat of a veteran team that's had a ton of success. They've only missed the playoffs, like, I think once or twice since 2003. They were just in the Stanley Cup final a couple of seasons ago, and to a large degree, the core is still there. You know, I know Joe Pavelski left, but you still got Joe Thornton there, and, you know, Burns on the back end. You just got a lot of talent out there. So I could see JT thinking that would be a good fit for him. And I certainly think the money's going to be there for him, you know, no matter what team, you know, you're talking about. But if I'm the Islanders, I'm probably most worried about the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, they have a lot of cap space. That's their main thing, a good young mixture along with that veteran core. Another team that could really give Tavares a chance to win, the Tampa Bay Lightning. There was a very, like, detailed article on The Athletic about how they could do that. But JT Miller just signed a 5-year, $26.25 million deal. Does that all but eliminate them from the Tavares sweepstakes?
Well, I don't know about eliminating them, because you can go 10% over the cap in the summer, and, you know, and work your way back down from there. So, you know, certainly Stevie Yzerman can get creative. you know, but I don't know if I see the Lightning as a great fit, other than the fact that, you know, Steven Stamkos is, you know, childhood teammate of John Tavares is from Toronto, and they've been lifelong friends. And, you know, John is a very loyal human being, and there might be a heartstring tug there to maybe want to be Steven Stamkos' teammate. So, and plus, you know, financially, Florida has no state income tax, which, you know, Texas doesn't have as well. But I agree that, you know, both, I think both Toronto and Tampa would have to be very, very creative to figure out a way to get JT.
Yeah. And another really, you just said creative. I really think the way the Islanders are going about this is very creative. They went second in their pitch, which usually the final team, the team that like Tavares would have re-signed with, the Islanders, would go last from what I've heard. And another thing, Lou Lamoriello and Barry Trotz are essentially sitting in Los Angeles as all these meetings are going on. So what are they doing when they're not meeting with Tavares? They've been there since the draft. And I know they met with Tavares yesterday. How did that go from what you're hearing?
I mean, obviously I'm not out there, and no one in the Islanders organization is giving anything up. But the description I read of the faces of the Islanders contingent when they left Pettersson's office was that they certainly did not look disappointed, you know. So, I mean, I think it's impossible to read the tea leaves, especially from 3,000 miles away. But, you know, what do Lou and Barry are out there, you know, I'm sure they feel like they're going to be the closers, you know. You know, JT's going to meet with everyone, but I'm sure Lou is, you know, in the off hours, I'm sure he's burning up Pettersson's phone. You know, basically assuring him that the Islanders will do anything here, you know, to get him signed. And you know, they're there to address any concerns. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, if it comes to it and JT is leaning maybe another way, you know, Lou makes another pitch, you know. So I think it's smart on them to stay out there.
Yeah. And another really cool thing that I saw, and for me, it's the little things John Tavares is doing, whether it's his post-game press conference after the fans had that chant for him, and then what he just did. He's texting Wahlstrom, Dobson, the Islanders prospects, congratulating them. Do you get the vibe? I mean, a normal unrestricted free agent, I feel like, wouldn't do that if he was planning on leaving. Do you get the vibe that that's a good sign in that he's investing his time in talking to the Islanders' young prospects?
I guess you could read it like that. You know what? I saw that. I heard that from Oliver Wahlstrom. I don't want to make too big a thing of that. Just because, again, you know, like reading the tea leaves is you know, a Maple Leaf fan will jump over anything and go, oh, this is a good sign for us. A Shark fan will jump over anything and go, you know, this is a good sign for us. So, you know, everyone's looking for a little bit. I mean, I think it speaks more to John Tavares' character.
I agree.
You know, I nuts and bolts, you know, up until Sunday, he's still under contract to the Islanders. He's still their franchise player. Why wouldn't he greet the future of the franchise?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you could look at it like that.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I try not to read these rumor reports and everything, but this just stuck out to me just because I feel like it shows his loyalty. And I think that hopefully this guy is just so loyal to the Islanders and their franchise. It's, you know, it's Wednesday, it's June, late June, and he's still, you know, Sunday's July 1st, and he's still showing loyalty. So I like that. For me, that's just a good sign.
And that's JT's character. He's a very, very loyal person. And, you know, like I said, I mean, he said all season that he hopes it works out because he is very comfortable with this team. He just wants to be assured, you know, in his mind that he has, you know, the best chance for success here.
Yeah. And something that didn't work out, unlike hopefully the John Tavares sweepstakes, the Islanders apparently, and I don't want to look too much into this, but apparently the Islanders had interest in Max Pacioretty, and apparently they were willing to give up one, if not both, of their first-round picks, had Noah Dobson, and Oliver Wahlstrom not fallen right into their laps. So do you think there's any legitimacy to this report? And if it went down, do you think this would have been a good deal for the Islanders?
Well, here's I know the reporter, Eric Engels, yeah. And you know, from Montreal, and Eric is as solid as they come. And if he's reporting this, he's done his due diligence. I have no reason not to believe this wasn't on the table, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When all is said and done, I'm happier for the Islanders' future getting a Wahlstrom and a Dobson in. Then, you know, and Max Pacioretty is 29, and I know, you know, that's more immediate help for John Tavares there. But I'm happy in retrospect the Islanders held on to their pick. Yeah, especially given the way that board was breaking. And you know what? Even if Wahlstrom was off the board, you know, and it was just Thompson, I still think, you know, based on the talent that was picked around there, the Islanders would have been better off keeping their two picks.
Yeah, interesting point. But the funny thing was about that draft, though, is just once you got to round, like, once Hayton went and then the Canadians made their pick, it was like, it just looked like at 11 and 12, it was like the top 12 picks, you know, and then the draft kind of fell off a little bit and it looked like the Islanders would get two really solid, like really, really good players, whether it was Brashard or Dobson or Wahlstrom or anyone else.
Absolutely. By the time you got to the Rangers pick.
Yeah.
Or even by the time, you know, number 8 came around. Because Barrett Hayton got inserted, you know, at number 5.
Yeah.
You knew that the Islanders were going to get good value. And then the Rangers went a little bit off the board, too. I mean, Vitali Kratsov was very highly rated. So I don't want to say they went, you know, they were out to lunch with that pick. But I don't know how many people had, you know, Kratsov as a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
So that really, I think, right there just, you know, solidified the fact that the Islanders were getting two players they did not, you know, think that would probably be there.
Yeah. And in other news, just to, you know, kind of give listeners a full scope of the Islanders organization, they still have a lot of their own guys to re-sign, including two very good defensemen, and I want to talk about Calvin DeHaan specifically because he has 10 teams interested in him, and he's a great player. So you've got Pulick, DeHaan, and then Brock Nelson. So what's the status of those guys?
Well, I mean, when I took over the beat in mid-March, what I was told is there's not a chance Calvin DeHaan was coming back. And I think that was on both sides. You know, obviously Lou hasn't spoken about it, but I think, you know, the Islanders' interest in DeHaan has been re-sparked with Lou and Barry coming in.
Okay, that's good.
So, you know, they, as far as I'm understanding, they're one of those 10 teams.
Okay, good.
So, you know, I mean, it's, you know, Calvin, especially since John Carlson got an 8x8 deal with the Capitals and came off the board, and, you know, there's some thought that Mike Green's going to come off the board, and, you know, Ian Cole, I believe, just he's off the board. So there's not a lot of really solid defensemen available. So that's just going to drive the price up elsewhere. And I think Calvin DeHaan is going to make out really nicely in this free agent market. And I'm not so sure he'll wind up back here.
Yeah, that's a bummer because for me, he's one of my favorite players. I think the team crumbled when he went down. And I hope Lou makes a last-ditch effort when the Tavares, you know, story kind of quiets down. Because I don't know how you feel about this, but I thought 2 years ago, not last year, he was arguably their best defenseman. And then last year, I mean, the team just crumbled when he went down. And I just feel like he's a heart guy. He's a really hard worker. And I think the team needs him. I might be exaggerating, but I really, really want him back. So
no, yeah. I don't think you're off base with that because you know when I came in March, you know I sort of had the same perception of him,
mm-hmm.
and I was surprised when I was hearing, oh no, he's not coming back.
Yeah.
My first thought was, well, why wouldn't you want this guy back?
Yeah,
but you know. But we'll see. I mean, he had a horrific shoulder injury.
Yeah, that's tough. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. I'm not so sure about Calvin DeHaan. I think you know, I think he certainly wants to get the market and see what's out there. And he may be looking for a fresh start, just, you know, just for a fresh start. Although, you know, again, that comes back to Lou and Barry. I mean, you know, what better fresh start than, you know, playing for a GM president who's orchestrated three Stanley Cups and the coach who just won a Stanley Cup. That's a pretty good fresh start.
The thing with DeHaan, though, and this, you know, this could go in the Islanders' favor. He and Garth Snow, I'm not sure if you remember, but they had a very tough arbitration hearing. DeHaan basically got screwed. And there was a very rough communication there. It was like a war breaking out. And DeHaan and Snow have been butting heads for a while. Now that Snow's gone, I mean, I just hope Lamoriello makes, you know, makes the change and re-signs him. That's my hope. And then,
new leadership, new perspective, right?
Yeah, so. Definitely. And then another thing that the Islanders need a new perspective on is definitely the goaltending situation. I mean, it's tough right now. Honestly, Yaroslav Halak wasn't terrible last year. It was the defense that really, really let him down, facing 50 shots a game. So what do you think Lou Lamoriello is going to do to address the goaltending situation this offseason?
Well, he obviously, you know, the price for Philip Grubauer out of Washington was not as high as I anticipated it was. And it seems like Lou was not, you know, he may kick tires on that, but I don't know how much interest there was. You know, it's interesting with Barry Trotz and also, you know, the Caps goalie coach Mitch Korn expected to wind up in on the island and, as well. You know, you would have thought if those two guys really like Grubauer, he'd be an Islander right now. So, you know, from there, I mean, it sort of seems, and I sort of cringe when I say this, but it sort of seems like the best option right now might be, you know, getting Craig Anderson in, you know, and I'm not crazy about that, you know.
Me too.
But you know, Craig has played some good hockey in the past. He's 37. He's got 2 years left on a deal at 4.7. So you know, if he stinks, that's a big problem, and you're really taking a gamble. But you know what? If you want to win now, as Lou has basically told people he thinks he can do, and you certainly know if John Tavares comes back, he doesn't want to win in 3 years from now. He wants to win now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, you hear the names on the market. You know, it's Carter Hutton, and there's a connection to Carter Hutton with Mitch Korn going back to Nashville. So I don't know how Mitch might rate, you know, Carter Hutton, but he's never been a number one goalie, and he's 32. You know, I know he had a great last season, and he displaced Jake Allen, but, you know, that was when he was 31, and that was the first time he ever did that. So, you know, I don't know about that. You know, you hear Cam Ward's name out there, and, you know, you hear Robin Lehner's name out there, and, you know, there just doesn't seem to be that exciting name out there. And that's why when you get into a situation like this, that's why you sort of think Lou is thinking something that none of us are thinking.
Exactly. Yeah. I know. You know. That's what he's going to do. I feel like it. I've had that hope still.
And you know what? It sounds crazy, but, you know, I'm wondering, you know, would the Devils part with Corey Schneider? You know, and that big contract. You know, would they trust Keith Kincaid to be a number one?
Yeah.
You know, or
Keith Kincaid's been my guy all along.
Or would the Devils trade Keith Kincaid?
Yeah, that's my hope.
You know, he's got 1 year left on his deal. He's a Long Island kid. He went to Islander games as a kid. All his buddies live on Long Island. you know, that'd be an interesting one. But again, you know, I know Keith played really, really well January on, and he's a big reason the Devils made the playoffs, because Corey Schneider was injured and kind of struggled, you know, after December. But again, you know, that's like Carter Hutton. You know, this is, Keith hasn't done it before, and you're taking a certainly not as big a gamble as you are on Craig Anderson, because Keith has got a very manageable contract and he's only got 1 year left. So, you know, he's playing for a big deal here. you know. And, you know, sort of akin to Keith Kincaid, you know, two seasons back, you know, you're going to call up the Edmonton Oilers and maybe ask about Cam Talbot?
Yeah.
Because I'm a big Cam Talbot fan.
Me too.
You know? So
a lot of guys. Yeah.
Yes. So I agree with you. I think Lou's going to do something that none of us are really thinking can happen right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My dream scenario, I've been saying this for so long, I went to a lot of Devils games. I live closer. So I went to a lot of games just to watch good hockey. Keith Kincaid was absolutely fantastic in that in 2018. And he was statistically the best goaltender in the league in terms of wins. For me, that's a guy with a one-year deal. If I'm the Islanders, I'm going full swing on him. The problem is, though, Corey Schneider is injured, and they want – he's going to be the starter going into the year because Corey Schneider has a bad injury. So that's an issue there. But if the Islanders, if they're going to settle – for me, I just feel like you can't take a risk on Craig Anderson. That screams of Genny Nabokov for me, which we all know how that went. And then I just feel like Robin Leonard, or even, this sounds terrible to say, but Halak on a one-year deal again. I just feel like you can't go 2 years on Anderson. And I know, I think you agree with that. 2 years is frame.
Yeah. You know what? I don't. It would be really hard to sell Yaroslav Halak just because if you bring him back, you got the same thing. It's Halak and Thomas Greiss is going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you can't sell that to John Tavares. You can't sell that to Mitch Korn. And because Mitch Korn is tied into Barry Trotz, I've got to believe Lou Lamoriello told Barry Trotz regarding the goalie situation, it's going to be something different than Halak and Greiss.
Okay, that's good, yeah. I really like Halak. I didn't think that was his fault. I just think I'm really scared with that, with going long-term. In 2 years, with Greiss in there with that three-year deal, and then going to Anderson, I would like to avoid that, so... I just, Kincaid's my guy. You used to report on the Devils. The Devils, really good goaltenders there. That's a great option. So, I mean, so many good options there. It was really, we're approaching, you know, 30 minutes now. So I think it's good that we finish it off on that high note there about the goaltending situation. Thank you so much for giving up the time to come on the show today. It was, again, a pleasure and an honor to speak to you. And good luck covering the Islanders the rest of the offseason.
David, I appreciate it, and we'll talk again soon.
Yep, definitely. So thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Welcome back to Destination Hockey. I am here with another very special guest today. We are here with Joe Smith of The Athletic. So thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem. Glad to be here.
So, it's the Tavares sweepstakes, the Tavares watch, as it's being called on Twitter. And the Tampa Bay Lightning got a pitch, and they are currently meeting right now, I believe. So from what you're hearing, where do you think Tampa Bay's odds are of signing John Tavares?
Well, I mean, I think it's a long shot for them, like it is any other team that's not the New York Islanders. Just like Steven Stamkos 2 years back when he had his sweepstakes and meetings with four or five teams up in Newport's offices in Toronto area. You know, most of the hockey world believes that Tavares is going to stay at Long Island. He's seen a lot of changes with Lamoureux taking over and Barry Trotz hired a cup-winning coach and the commitment there from that team. So I think it'd be surprised if anybody, including the Lightning, came out on top. Lightning has a lot to offer and on the ice, of course, with a chance to win the cup. And, you know, they have to clear some cap room to make space available for him, but they could do that if that comes to getting a special player. But I think overall, if you ask anybody, whether it's Boston or San Jose, hard to handicap the chances, and other than being a little bit more of a long shot to get him.
So Tampa, if what you're saying is Tampa's agreeing with you, then it looks like they're going on with their offseason. They snagged up one of their prospects, Ross Colton. They signed him, and then JT Miller they re-signed to a five-year deal. So is Tampa Bay just going to continue going on with their offseason through the restricted free agent period, expecting to not sign John Tavares?
Well, I think they're going with it like they won't, and then seeing what happens. I think also signing JT Miller at a 5.25 million annual average with a limited no-move clause doesn't kick in until limited no-trade clause doesn't kick until after this season. Still have some flexibility there if you want to move him. If they do get a chance to get Tavares, which they don't know they will get it until later this week, I think you have options A of the team without him and option B of the team with him. And right now they have to proceed as business as usual until that day comes where they get, you know, confirmation that he'd be coming to Tampa. So a lot of stuff to do. If they don't get Tavares, they have a lot of stuff to do. They'll try to shore up their blue line a little bit, maybe they're the right shot defenseman. Could survey the UFA market, which isn't very deep this year, but they have some other radar options they can look at as far as some depth forwards and go from there and sign their RFAs that they haven't signed yet, Cedric Paquette, Slater Cuckoo, and Anna Murdy.
Yeah, and the one thing about Tavares is he is dominating a lot of time, but something that Tampa has to look out for, whether they get Tavares or not, is their pending free agents. You got Nikita Kucherov, Braden Point, Ryan McDonough, three guys who are going to command a lot of money, and if Tavares comes on board, you're probably not going to be able to even re-sign them. So assuming Tavares doesn't sign with Tampa, how is Tampa going to kind of navigate their cap to avoid getting screwed with one of those three contracts and having to lose them?
Well, I think also try this summer to extend Ryan McDonough. They got him in that blockbuster with the Rangers at the end of February at the deadline, and they really like what he brought. He's only 29 years old, and I don't know how long the contract would be, but probably be less than the Miller one, which was 5 years. But they want to sign him, and I think the Kucherov and Point extensions can go through the course of the season or next summer when they're both restricted free agents. But I would expect both of those things to get done, and maybe the Point's a little bit easier as a bridge deal than the Kucherov one, which will be a pretty massive one. But those are the ones they can navigate, and they can find some room there because you have some contracts. Anton Strahlman's 4.5 and Frank Coburn's 3.7, and Dan Girardi's $3 million per year come off after next year, and Ryan Callahan at 5.8. He potentially could buy him out next summer or trade him at that point the last year of his contract. So you'll have some space moving forward, and you'll have to find a way to get underneath the cap, and they're hoping the cap goes up too. So the only way this becomes a lot more of a mess or more difficult than Tavares actually says the word and then comes up to make some sort of movements to create that space to happen.
Yeah, and in other news with the Lightning, developmental camp is in full swing. So for those of us who are unaware, how is Tampa Bay's prospect core looking?
Oh, the prospects? Yeah, I mean, the prospects, they just started the camp. It's a smaller camp than usual because a lot of the guys that would be here played in Syracuse either the full season as first-year pros or kind of stepped in the playoff run and came as Black Aces during the playoffs. So we're giving those guys some more time off before regular camp starts. So you've seen more of the guys from this year's draft, the Keith Fortier, their second-round pick. You see some guys from last year, like the Oleg Sosin, offensive coach, Russian defenseman. And it's just early going here with the power skating and such. It's hard to see a little more of a read, but you're going to see a lot more personal attention from coaches this week. And a lot of talented, smaller contact forwards that are in that similar mold of the Fortiers and the Roulets that can really make a difference. So it'll be interesting to watch some of these young kids perform and get some coaching from some of the main guys this week.
Yeah, so we're running out of time in the show today, but I do want to thank you so much for coming on and joining me today. I want to wish you luck in the rest of your offseason, and I do want to say another athletic writer I've had the honor of speaking to. You do great work over there, so please subscribe, and thank you so much for speaking with me today.
No problem, Dave, anytime, and thanks for having me on.
Of course. So we had a packed show for you today. We had three really amazing guests. Jakub Sarek, again, I really am wishing him the best. Apparently he had a pretty scary injury today, so I'm glad I was able to speak to him. And a great motivated player. I have no doubt that he will be back and recovered from this and better than ever. Andrew Gross thinks Tavares is going to re-sign, but again, San Jose could be a threat, so watch out for that, as well as Toronto. So right now we're putting the numbers at around 80-20. That's my bet. But again, it's getting scary with Tavares. If he doesn't re-sign by Saturday at midnight, he will not be able to get 7 years from 8 years from the Islanders and will most likely be going elsewhere. So look for the timetable to be Saturday night for a deal to get done with the Islanders. If not, he's probably going elsewhere. And then you heard it from Joe Smith. He's a very, very talented writer for Tampa Bay, and he doesn't think Tavares is going to head down there. He doesn't really think he's going to go anywhere besides New York. So good news there. A lot of people are starting to think that Tavares is going to be re-signed, so Islanders fans just have some faith because it's looking good right now. So that was another episode of Destination Hockey. Next week we are off for July 4th, but I will be back July 11th with a Belmont protester, so we'll hear the other perspective of the Belmont Park debate, and then Matthew DeFranks, the Florida Panthers beat writer. So thank you so much for listening, and have a great day, everyone.
Tune in every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on 100 in Chamber Radio for Chamber in Action with Chamber President Chris Phelan and Good Morning host Big C, where we'll keep you informed on all the issues, all the initiatives of the 100 County Chamber of Commerce and our business community here in 100 County.
Leader of a local business group. Stephanie Wilkinson, owner of the Red Hen, resigning yesterday as executive director of Main Street Lexington. The group's president, Elizabeth Outland Browner, said Wilkinson felt it was best to step down given the circumstances. At least one person's dead after an explosion at a hospital in Texas. Here's USA Radio's Wendy King.
The state fire marshal would lead.